gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Let's hope it's a slow news week this week as it was last week.
Oh, sure. Oh,
I am not exhausted at all. And I did our sister station coverage Friday night, so I did 6 hours of incoherent babbling about I'm not even sure I made any sense
How
at all.
Was she, the sister station?
She's hot. She's big, 50,000 watt hot. Okay, 1-800 Steph 1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere.
So you were on the air as it was ending, pretty much.
Yes.
Wow.
I mean, what a week, what a day, Friday.
Yeah.
It's just yikes. And then, as if it wasn't a hard enough week, what's on the cover of my Parade magazine, Jim? Oh. What's on the cover? George and Laura. Really?
Welcome to my library.
I got a library. I got a new library. And therefore, I'm doing this interview.
You're pretty much the only one who saw that because nobody gets Parade magazine in the actual paper anymore.
What's up with Pickles Bush? That's all I want. We were friends, and I were speculating what her life is like now. You know, just don't think George keeps popping. Look, I made another picture. Drew another picture of me naked. Here's another dog.
Here's a picture of me sitting on the toity.
It's like living with an 8-year-old. Okay, George, I'll put this one on the refrigerator, too.
Here's a picture of a dookie I made.
Didn't he paint pictures of dogs?
Yes.
Wouldn't he paint a picture of Howard Hughes, which is in Parade magazine?
Right, yeah, right.
There you go.
Actually, he did a very good picture of Barney.
I made you a new dog. This one has macaroni and sparkles on it. Here. How many times do you think she said, Christ, would you get a job? Do you think, seriously? Not running anything. Just something. What a burger. Something.
Something where you can't do any damage, like a fertilizer plant.
Right.
Okay.
Too soon.
Can we talk about the zoning laws in Texas?
I was just going to say, talk about lack of government regulation.
Yeah, exactly.
They have like a zillion times more than you're allowed to have, and they're like how many feet from a school?
A school and a nursing home.
A nursing home.
Yes.
That shouldn't happen.
Yeah.
Wow.
I can't remember the number. I'll get to it. They have
Yeah.
Hello, that's Rand Paul's libertarian paradise.
Exactly.
Fertilizer plant with however many tons you want, wherever you feel like it.
Woo! Like building freedom. A nuclear plant near an active fault zone.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was thinking, yeah, all right. Anyway, so obviously lots of breaking news left and right.
Yes.
You were saying the latest, I guess, is that Zokar?
Sounds
like, I feel like I'm in the Conehead sketch. I don't know if there's a Beldar, but Zokar.
He's a Jokar, a midnight smokar.
Right. He is responding to written questions. He's not talking yet.
Well, he has a wound in his neck. They're not sure if it was self-inflicted or if it was a gunshot through the neck. So he has a tube down his neck, but he can write. So he's answering questions, apparently.
Right, and so no word about what we're finding out or not so far. But anyway, so far from Zokar. Sorry. I'm a little punchy from last week.
That was a hell of a news week.
Yes, it was like a news shrapnel, just left and right, the new information by the second.
Like the Onion said, Jesus this week.
Yeah, that's exactly how I would sum up. Jesus, really? What else now? Speaking of what else now, Rude Pundit coming up at bottom of the hour, Eric Bollard, and the legendary Lily Tomlin.
Oh, wow.
You cannot say Lily Tomlin without legendary
She's
in front
legendary.
Of it. Yeah.
So that Tom Brokaw isn't there to introduce Lily Tomlin,
the legendary
Lily Tomlin.
I think you will do that. I will have you do that.
Formerly of Laughing.
Very good.
Thank you.
Along with Alan Seuss.
And she has worked with Alan. She played Alan Alda's wife in a movie.
Alan Alda?
Yes.
What movie?
Lily Tomlin was Alan Alda's wife.
I don't know if she actually. Now I'm thinking I may have that.
Carol Burnett. Four seasons.
No, she was in a movie. She's been in a movie with everyone, first of all. But
Alan
Alda? She was in a movie with Alan Alda. I'll think of it. Oh, now you're Googling it, and I might be proved wrong in real time.
Alan Alda and Lola Farana.
I will be the New York Post of my own show. All right.
Yeah, Flirting with Disaster.
Thank
you. One of the funniest movies ever made.
Flirting with Disaster.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Exactly. She was flirting with Alan Alda.
Sorry, Tomlin and Alan Alda.
Okay. So.
She played an LSD maker in that. It was very funny.
A lysergic acid.
Yes.
Okay. Hey, speaking of people with bags of Emmys, so guess who came to my dinner party Saturday night? Alice and Janney.
Oh,
well, this is Fitzgerald's friend from West Wing.
My invite must have gotten lost in the mail.
Yes, it did.
Okay.
It was a fancy party. You don't get invited to those.
No, I guess not.
You only get invited to the pizza parties. With the other riffraff.
Yeah, great, thanks.
Black tie, not so much.
Anyway, she had to leave early because she said to have it Sunday. I said, listen, Bag of Emmys, you don't get to say what day the party is. Just, that's my nickname for her, Bag of Emmys.
All right.
Anyway, she is delightful. And I asked, I said, how many times does Melissa have to say, you know, you're not the boss of me in real life? She's her boss. Huh?
Right, exactly.
Okay. And also, speaking of L words, Stephen Stills was there.
Stephen Stills.
Which was kind of hilarious. And he locked his keys in his car.
Stephen Stills locked his keys
in his car. And my friend had to drive him
boxes.
Home. Had to drive him home and then back again.
Oh.
Yeah.
He doesn't have OnStar? I mean, he's an international rock star.
He's Dark Star. He doesn't have OnStar. See? See what I did there?
And can I just say, people like that are as big of geeks as we are, because they were both huge fans of each other.
Right.
And they were, like, plotzing over each other.
Yeah.
And I thought, see, at least I'm the only one that I think teeth get out that far. I'm like, oh, my God, look at his...
Well,
his,
you and Lily Tomlin do that to each other.
No, she does not do that to me. I do that to her, and I haven't stopped for, like, 20 years. I'm like, oh, my God, Lily Tomlin.
She's a fan of yours, though.
Oh, please. All right. Oh, please. Comedy legend Lily Tomlin. Enough with that. All right. So we've got a lot of, there's like a million details to go over with these stories.
Yeah.
Obviously, many of our friends on the right are already politicizing it. Did you see Ann Coulter tweeted about, she said, too bad who's the first suspect, the guy that died?
Tamerlan.
Yeah. Said, too bad that Marco Rubio won't be able to legalize him. I'm like, oh my God, really?
Aren't they legal?
No. The one in the hospital was legal. The other one was not.
Okay. Hmm.
Yeah, and then someone else made the point. They're like, first of all, how do you control somebody that came, a family that came here 10 years ago when they were kids? Like, how do you control that they do something bad later, 10 years later? Like, it's just, yeah. I mean, what's that idiot? We'll talk to Rude Pundit about the guy that tweeted about the gun issue. You know,
how many
cowering liberals in Boston are, you know, wish they had an AK-47 tonight? Yeah, you know what? I think the police kind of got it.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
I think that's what we.
You saying there weren't enough bullets fired?
Yeah, that would have been good. A bunch of vigilantes out with AK-47. That would have made things much better.
Sure.
Yeah. Oy.
Not enough blood on the street yet.
Yeah, and that was right in the middle of it.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
Arkansas Republican. Head.
Moron.
He apologized if anyone was offended.
Right.
Yes.
If any of you cowering liberals were offended in Boston.
Did you see the response that some of the
cowering
liberals...
Oh, my God,
liberals?
The tweets were amazing.
Oh,
they're,
God.
We'll go through it with Pete Pundit because it's hilarious. Don't mess with Boston.
No, you don't.
Hashtag Boston Strong. Oh, man. Yeah, it was just some great scenes, right? The Red Sox game, Neil Diamond rocked the joint. It was just a.
By the way, apparently the dead bomber was legal. He had a residence card.
Uh-huh.
He
wasn't a citizen.
We'll go through all that.
Okay,
all right. Yeah, he was actually, I mean, clearly the FBI is looking at this now because he had been looked at by the FBI previously. And Jim, you were saying, I knew there was something weird going on when, before we even knew who this was, Putin offered to help.
Yeah, well, offered condolences.
Offered condolences after the bombing,
It sounds like he's trying to enlist us in helping him fight the Chechens, because we're so good at fighting foreign wars.
Well, we'll get to all the details of this, but first of all, like, somebody made the point, like, they're fighting Russia, Chechens, not America. So a lot of, you know, people distancing themselves, the Muslim community distancing themselves. They're like, what is this about? Like,
yeah. And the far right is, like, trying to wrap their brains around the fact that a white guy can be Muslim.
Right. He's
not brown enough.
I thought they was all Arabs.
He's from the Caucasus region, which is where
Caucasians
comes
from. Right. Ironically, they're known as the blacks in Russia.
Okay.
Because they all tend to be dark
hair.
What
is Roger Hedgehog reporting about the cock? Excuse me?
Roger Hedgehog.
Oh, right. I'm sorry. I always get that wrong.
Yes, you do.
I'm sure his reporting on the
Caucasus
from the
Caucasus. They're from some of the stands. They actually, the one never even lived in Chechnya.
No.
He
lived in Russia.
Two of the stands.
Yeah.
Right.
Kyrgyzstan and
another
Hardy Stan.
Laurel and Hardy Stan.
Yes, and I don't give a Stan.
Yeah.
All right. Federal prosecutors prepared criminal charges yesterday against the 19-year-old who was obviously, we were just talking about, was seriously wounded. Yeah, they're receiving particular scrutiny as the six-month trip that the older brother took back there. And I don't know, the family says he was, well, he was just sleeping and helping us build a basement or something. I don't know, working on the So one of the other concerning thing is the police commissioner said yesterday that police had discovered at least four unexploded devices, including one similar to the two pressure cooker bombs that were used in the Boston Marathon. And he said, I personally believe they were planning other attacks. But this echoes a little bit. Remember the press conference Friday? Then we're like, yeah, he's still out there. But it's okay to go out now. People were like,
what?
Yeah. It's like, but the, anyway, but so one of the concerns is, are there other devices that are planted? And it, but the, he's like, no, everybody's safe. It's like, there might be other unexploded bombs, but everybody's safe. Once
that could be triggered by a cell phone, yeah.
What now?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I wouldn't worry about it.
The men's parents who moved back to southern Russia have said their sons were framed. The dad, with not the keenest understanding of the American political system.
No.
He said Friday, he's like, he is a good boy. He has his whole, this is before he, you know, was caught, obviously. Mm-hmm. He said he's a good boy. He has his whole life ahead of him. Come back home to Russia.
Yeah, no. Computer says
no. That's not how that works here. You don't get to go now.
No.
Can he just go now? No.
No, we keep you.
Yeah, a group leading an Islamist insurgency against Russia said on Sunday it was not at war with the United States. Distancing itself from the Boston bombings. They said we are fighting with Russia, which is responsible not only for the occupation of the
Caucasus.
I would right away assume that's Iowa, but no, not those caucuses, but for monstrous crimes against Muslims. So, you know, again, a lot of details just coming out. We will comb through all of them with a fine-tooth news comb.
We will.
17 minutes after the hour, we continue with all the latest out of Boston as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
This is Too Weird, Man.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Could you fellas take it? Let's spend some time together.
No.
22 minutes after the hour.
We'd rather not sing at all.
All right. A lot of tweets saying that, you know, it's interesting because everyone's using this for their own issues, whether it's gun or immigration or whatever. But we were saying, first of all, like, they were here legally because of, you know, this is, I don't see how this relates to the current immigration debate, because this was like asylum back when they came 10 years ago, right? Because of what was
going on in Chechnya.
Right. Anyway, but yeah, so what?
Well, one was a citizen, the other was a legal resident.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the FBI, you know, that probably did fall through the cracks, the older brother, because they were asked to investigate him. They just couldn't find anything at the time. And so anyway, but Jim, you were reading from The Guardian?
Yes, The Guardian, which has some of the best political reporting in the world for my money. It's the article is, "Why Does America Lose Its Head Over Terror," in quotation marks, "but ignore its deadly gun deaths?" And they, let's see if we find the proper paragraph.
Yeah.
It's a positive spin on this. It's a reflection of how little Americans have to worry about terrorism. A population such as London during the IRA bombings, or Israel during the Second Intifada, or Baghdad pretty much every day, becomes inured to random political violence. Americans who have such little experience of terrorism, relatively speaking, are more primed to overreact and assume the absolute worst when it comes to the threat of a terror attack, as if in the American imagination every terrorist is not just a mortal threat, but is a deadly combination of Jason Bourne and James Bond. If only Americans reacted the same way to the actual threats that exist in their country. There's something quite fitting and ironic about
the fact. There was some bill we could have passed last week that might have done something.
The Boston freakout happened in the same week the Senate blocked consideration of a gun control bill that would have strengthened background checks for potential buyers. Even though this reform was supported by more than 90% of Americans, and even though 56 out of 100 senators voted in favor of it, the Republican minority prevented even a vote from being held on the bill because it would have allegedly violated the Second Amendment rights of, quote, law-abiding Americans. So, for those of you keeping score at home, locking down an American city, a proper reaction to the threat from one terrorist, a background check to prevent criminals or those with mental illness from purchasing guns, a dastardly attack on civil liberties.
Yeah. Interesting stuff.
More than 30,000 Americans die in gun violence every year compared to the 17 who died last year in terrorist attacks.
Yeah. No, interesting perspective. But I don't know if you've seen this on Facebook. Of course, there's the picture of Zokar. Was that his name?
Dozar?
It's like a Batman movie.
Beldar.
Beldar.
I'm somehow Coneheads.
We come from France.
Coneheads and Batman are melding in my head.
We come from France, Nia.
Yeah. There's a picture of him, the guy in the hospital, saying, became an American citizen on September 11, 2012. Yeah, let's pass that immigration bill. And somebody posted, about that. Adam Lanza, born a U.S. citizen, Catholic, Caucasian, slaughtered 26 in Newtown. Jared Lochner, born a U.S. citizen, Caucasian, religion unknown, slaughtered 6, wounded 12, Tucson. James Holmes, born a U.S. citizen, Lutheran, Caucasian, slaughtered 12 in Aurora. Eric Harris, Dylan Klebone, born U.S. citizens, religion unknown, Lutheran, both Caucasian, slaughtered 13, wounded 24, Columbine. Eric Rudolph, born a U.S. citizen, Christian, Caucasian, slaughtered 2, wounded 111, Atlanta, Georgia. Tim McVeigh, born a U.S. citizen, Roman Catholic, Caucasian, slaughtered 168, wounded over 800 in Oklahoma City.
Will those Muslims stop at nothing?
Yeah, and then the post says, perhaps we should just leave nationality, ethnicity, and religion out of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then, you know, the Sikhs get attacked because some Nimrod thinks, A, they're Arabic, and B, Muslim, neither of which is true. And even if it were, they're not terrorists.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah.
Thai.
So
the United States of Thai.
Can't brain today. What's the Facebook say thing?
I can't brain today. What is it?
I can't remember. So, obviously, springing up a lot of legal questions. They didn't give him a Miranda warning, and so, you know, the ACLU is shouting about that. And of course, the well-known Southern belle Lindsey Graham already having the vapors over why isn't he being treated as an enemy combatant.
Get that the one, smelling salts again.
Oh, for God's sake. God. That one, to me...
And what about Benghazi? Shut up.
I'll always have Benghazi. It's my terror. But,
God is my witness. I will never go thirsty again. I have another mint julep. Thank you.
First of all, I agree with the legal expert I heard this weekend that said, this is a non-starter to treat them as enemy combatants. He's a U.S. citizen that did a crime on U.S. soil. You can't,
But then Peter King said this.
I believe he should be treated as an enemy combatant for the purpose of interrogation. I've put out a statement with Senator McCain, Senator Graham, Senator Ayotte. The reason for it is there are so many questions unanswered. There are so many potential links to terrorism here. Also, the battlefield is now in the United States, so I believe he is an enemy combatant. And he would not be tried before a military commission. Ultimately, he would be tried in a civilian court, and the statements taken from him cannot be used against him in that trial. But right now, he is really one of the only links we have as far as any Chechen involvement in the Al-Qaeda movement, in the overall Islamist movement. And we don't know, are there other conspirators out there? Are there other explosives out there? Where do they get their radicalization? Are there mosques, imams we should be looking at?
He sounds like Pam Geller. He might as well grow some gigantic boobs.
Wow.
Well, he probably has.
Run on sentence police for you. Yeah. Pull over. The original thing I do get, not reading the Miranda rights, because at that particular moment, I can't remember what the actual legal code is, but
there's an imminent danger to
the public. Clearly
public
there was. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, exactly. The ACLU on Saturday said that every criminal defendant deserves Miranda rights, called for adherence to our tried and true justice system. The public safety exception allows for law enforcement to question detainees without reading the Miranda rights in certain high-risk situations. And if this wasn't one of those, Friday, I don't know what is. I mean, so I understand the administration's decision on that. But again, I think, you know, the Republicans always got to go one step further, and now we're into this whole enemy combatant thing. One legal expert said the proposal to try the Boston bombing suspect as an enemy combatant is a non-starter. Legally, there is no basis to argue that he meets the definition of an enemy combatant. He's a U.S. citizen, so he wouldn't be subject to a military commission anyway.
Right.
So,
but if only everybody had have guns, then we
would have been better.
Bullets,
a bunch of
as
really,
well as shrapnel flying
really
through the
panicked people that were with no training with military assault rifles looking for
people
the suspect. And maybe just firing at will at people that the New York Post had pictured.
People with baseball caps, for example.
Just in case they could wing someone involved tangentially. Okay, right back. Rude Pundit.
Stephanie Miller.
Like some sort of eccentric genius?
Yes, except for the genius part.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34, okay, minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. Okay.
Wow.
Glad that computer is still working.
All right.
When you put that help ticket in?
Wednesday.
1972.
Uh-huh. An emergency. Okay. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Well, looky who's back in town.
Lee Papa, the rude pundit. Pundit.
Well, thank God you picked a slow news week to...
Yeah, what I missed.
To go to Berlin.
Nothing.
Yeah, it was just so nice not to be there to watch the freak out.
Wow. You know, we were just talking about this guy, but you linked, of course, to the Arkansas lawmaker mocks Boston liberals, says they wish they had assault rifles. By the way, if there has ever been an example of the expertise of law enforcement and why we should let them handle it... It was Boston, right?
Right. You know, it was exactly what they were supposed to do. They went in. We can argue about whether or not, you know, shutting down the city was an overreaction, but certainly they did exactly what we expect them to do. I loved his apology, though, this Nate Bell from Arkansas, which essentially was, ooh, too soon?
Right. Yeah, exactly. He tweeted that he just apologized for the timing. Not exactly.
Yes, it was a poor timing. I regret the poor choice of timing.
Right.
Not the holiness of the original.
Yeah. Because that's what you need in a disaster like that. More bullets flying through the air.
Right. More untrained, panicked people with assault weapons.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
shooting at anybody
randomly.
That the New York Post or...
Anyone with a backpack or a baseball cap.
Right.
Yeah. I've seen this movie before. It ends with, you know, some poor, innocent, probably Muslim guy bleeding in the middle of the street.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean...
While white people dance triumphantly, shooting their rifles in the air over him.
Yes, exactly. What could possibly go wrong? He was a Republican Arkansas State Representative, Nate Bell. He tweeted that liberal Boston residents likely, cowering liberals.
Right.
How many cowering liberals in Boston tonight? And this is in the middle of the tragedy.
Yeah.
Wish they had an assault rifle. He also has backed legislation to make concealed carry licenses cheaper and to prevent the governor from regulating firearms, even in state emergencies.
Wow.
Once again, what could possibly go wrong there?
No. Because the best thing when the cops are going house to house trying to find somebody.
Right, is to have everybody armed.
Yeah, everybody pointing guns at them. That's nothing bad would ever happen to that.
No. He apologized for
the
timing.
You're coming to take my guns!
He said, I'd like to apologize to the people of Boston and Massachusetts for the poor timing of my tweet this morning.
Oh.
The tweets back were the greatest thing. Did you read some of those?
I did see some of those.
The headline, how many Bostonians are telling Arkansas State Senator Nate Bell he's an idiot? Well, that's simple. Lots.
Yeah. No matter how much he apologizes, he can't apologize for Arkansas.
Yeah, he tweeted, I wonder how many Boston liberals spent the night cowering in their homes wishing they had an AK-47 with a high-capacity magazine. So Boston, you know what? I don't think you say that to Boston. I love all the tweets back. You are a horrible human without a heart or soul. I hope your constituents are ashamed of your hateful words. You are a moron. Seriously, this guy. Screw you, Nate Bell. I'm a proud Boston liberal, and I'm glad that the professionals who my taxes support are on the case. You are capitalizing on tragedy, and you are a hole. And that was just Bostonians getting warmed up.
Yeah.
Hey, in Arkansas, you must just stand there when a terrorist is running around your neighborhood and yell, "Get off my lawn," or something like that, and point your shotgun at them or your high magazine AR-15. Which, how crappy a shot do you got to be? It's one guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me just read some more for our entertainment pleasure. Hey, Nate Bell, I was a sergeant in the U.S. Army, Hawkeye, and Boston liberal. Go to hell, you ignorant douche. That's one of mine.
Yeah.
I can tell. come here and say it to us, USLB. What does needing a big gun to feel like a man indicate about you? Hashtag Boston strong. Over here, we don't need guns to grow a pair of balls. Boston just, like, took him downtown.
Yeah.
That's confirmation you're a pathetic, delusional, self-serving asswipe who uses tragedy to further their own political agenda. That was Diana. Good job, Diana.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and then let's finish with Joe, which is my favorite. Might want to take a flight up north and try saying that in person, you water-headed little... Hillbilly.
Yeah, I would have gone with backward ass country F, but
Hey, speaking of which, because, you know, obviously so much news, I did not know about this Brad Paisley song until you, Accidental Racist.
Oh, you didn't know about that? Wow.
No, I did not know. Tell us about this.
Oh, Accidental Racist is a song that Brad Paisley, who's a country singer, did with LL Cool J about how, hey, man, don't judge me because I wear a Confederate flag shirt. It actually means something else to me than it means to you.
Right.
And that essentially it's your problem if you find it racist. And then there's LL Cool J rapping in the background, I don't know, something about career suicide. I'm not really sure.
He raps, if you don't judge my do-rag, I won't judge your red flag. If you don't judge my gold chains, I'll forget the iron chains.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Break it down.
Wow. Break it down.
Yeah. Can't rewrite rewrite history, baby, he keeps saying. I don't know, self-serving, it's just this
ill-advised
attitude. Yeah. This smug attitude of the South, like, you know, oh,
you don't understand
when I have a rebel flag. Right.
So I wore an SS uniform at the Museum of Tolerance. What?
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Don't be so, I apologize to all the oversensitive.
Right. It's the same thing. Oh, you don't understand when I walk down the street with my AR-15 strapped to my back, I'm just celebrating freedom.
Yeah.
You know,
you say,
what I want to do, I want to go down to one of these towns and I just want to walk around with a machete in my hand. That's it. Just out in the open. Just walk downtown, you know, maybe Little Rock, Arkansas with a machete in my hand and just see how many people out of. I'm sorry. This is my right. You know,
yeah,
this is
you
an
say,
arm too, isn't it?
You're right. If you're wearing a Confederate flag, you're saying you're proud of a nation that went to war with the United States so it could keep black people enslaved. That's not accidental racism. It's just racism. Thank you.
Yeah. So, it was just really just some blind attempt to justify why you want to continue being a racist and LL Cool J giving it credibility. Because what won't that man do for money?
And as you can say it, no one needs to understand why white Southerners wear a rebel flag. Them. They lost that argument back in 1865.
Right.
It ain't the same as droopy pants. It ain't the same as a Malcolm X t-shirt. And Paisley's song is oh so earnest and reaching out for sympathy and harmony where there should only be condemnation. Nicely done, sir.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Wow, that was so long ago. I barely remember that existed.
No, I just did not want it to get lost in this voracious news cycle we're in.
You know who I feel sorry for in all this?
Mm.
I feel sorry for the guy that sent the ricin to the president.
Right? Wacky ricin guy. Can how wacky do you need to be, the wackadoodle organ harvesting conspiracy theorist Elvis impersonator?
Right.
What does a man have to do?
I mean, he just decides the worst week to use snail mail to send poison. It's like, you bastards in Boston, totally ruining my chance in the sun.
And burying, the biggest news story of the week, and that is that there is apparently an Elvis impersonator judging scandal going on in Tupelo, Mississippi, that has not been uncovered until he blew the lid off it.
Mm. Wow.
Apparently
a lot of
rigging, a lot of payoffs going on. Yes, you know what? It is dirty. In case you thought the Elvis impersonator judging contest was clean in Tupelo, you are sadly mistaken. My friend,
you know that excuse for terrorism is pretty much ought to be the gold standard for excuses for terrorism. That I didn't feel like the Tupelo, Mississippi Elvis impersonator contest was judged correctly. And really, if you think about it, when we have these guys in Boston, is their reason going to be any more justified than that?
Yeah.
I mean, these bro losers, backward baseball cap wearing a-holes. Who watch too much stuff online.
And may I just say that for the first weekend ever, my internet viewing did not include kittens. It was him singing Little Red Corvette to a class of eighth graders.
Yeah.
Which I highly recommend.
Nice.
Wackadoodle Ricin Man. And the most unnecessary headline of the week, Ricin Mailer's family says he's mentally ill.
Huh.
Really? We wouldn't have sussed that out.
Wow.
And then my favorite post is where you stir up more from the original that you stirred up on my show the last time. You talked about yesterday, the Rude Pundit was on the Stephanie Miller Show a couple weeks ago discussing a piece he wrote where he says flat out, if you oppose same-sex marriage, you're a bigot. It doesn't matter where you got that belief, be it church or a political organization or your parents, you're intolerant and a bigot. A caller was outraged, damn it, that we would dare say he's a bigot because he follows his church's teachings on gay marriage. The rude pundit went back down, telling the caller his church was bigoted against gays and lesbians. You're persecuting me, he said. You're persecuting me for my beliefs. No, the rude pundit said. He wasn't being persecuted. He's allowed to belong to any hate group he wants, but the rest of us are allowed to say it's a group of bigoted...
You don't get to say that.
Yeah, you don't get to say that my KKK isn't just a club of white guys who like to hang out together and say bad things about other people. That's persecution.
You say so you're equating persecution with someone saying you're wrong. And it was nicely done, sir.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you're allowed to be told you're wrong, you know. Everybody doesn't get a trophy.
This is not T-ball, as it turns out. Rudeness, great stuff. Let us know when your next vacation is so we can clear out.
Did you guys try to reach me?
I thought that I had
taken care of that.
You clearly had some inside information that was coming down.
Thank you. That's right. Great. I'm going to get a knock on my door later now for that.
I just put you on the watch list. Love you, Rudeness. See you next week.
Bye.
All right, 45 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
To be honest, I've never seen such dysfunction.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Forty-nine minutes after the hour.
Stephanie Miller.
What? Kicking it old school on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Is that what we're doing?
Mm-hmm. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Dear God, really? This is a real thing going around the interwebs?
Yeah, it is.
Actual fourth grade science quiz?
Yep.
Name has been redacted.
Yeah.
Are we going to play Guess the State later?
Well, I think we can tell what the state is.
This is, would you like the fun facts? This is a fourth grade science quiz on dinosaurs, Genesis, and the gospel. And it received 100% A+ from the teacher. One, true or false, the earth is billions of years old. False. Number two, true or false, dinosaurs lived millions of years ago. False. Number three, on what day did God make dinosaurs? Sixth.
Of course, everybody knows that.
Dinosaurs lived with people. True. Number five, what did people and animals eat in the beginning? Plant. Six, which one fits the behemoth described in Job 40? Circle the picture. And that looks like a brontosaurus.
Mm-hmm.
That might have been the Flintstones he was thinking of. If an animal has sharp teeth, it must mean it is a meat eater. False. Okay. 100% A+ from somebody.
Ken Ham and Buddy Davis present Dinosaurs, Genesis, and the Gospel. Discussion and information guide. And show some pictures from the... Creation Museum with Adam and Eve and
girl
playing with dinosaurs.
All right. Raj in Los Angeles.
Darp.
Hello, Raj.
Hi, Stephanie. All these pundits, post-mortem analyzing psychoanalysts. You know, when the Chechen problem started in Russia, a lot of Chechens, they migrated to all over Western Europe, Scandinavian countries, England, France, Germany, Holland, Australia, New Zealand. Also, a lot of them came to Canada up north. None of them morphed into two monsters, except the two here. The difference between us and them is we have this cancer called NRA and gun culture, and they don't have that. So this is the main culprit. This is the, you know, the problem, and to get rid of this cancer, NRA and gun culture, we'll solve the problem. So, and you know, there is one a pundit who said this. I'm going to ask Stephanie, who is this? Conservatives, they want reform, but not now. Who said that?
I didn't understand what you said.
No, the conservatives, they do want reforms, but they don't want it now.
Oh, right, gun reforms. Yeah, I don't know who said that, but that was a cute little guess the quote. Yeah, by the way, did you see anybody talking about this? I think my boyfriend Lawrence O'Donnell did.
Mm-hmm.
How the NRA impeded the Boston bomber investigation. Once again, thanks, NRA.
Yeah.
Thanks a load. The intense hunt for the Boston Marathon bombers illustrates another way the NRA helps mass murderers by delaying how quickly they can be identified. The inability to quickly track the gunpowders in the Boston bombs is due to government policy designed and promoted by the NRA, which found a way to transform every massacre associated with weapons into an opportunity for the munitions companies that sustain it to sell more guns, gunpowder, and bullets. But for the NRA-backed policy of not putting identifiers known as taggants in gunpowder, law enforcement could have quickly identified the explosives used to make bombs, tracking them from manufacturer to retail sale. That could well have saved the life of Sean Collier, the 26-year-old MIT police officer who was gunned down Thursday night by the fleeing bomb suspects. Had the suspects in the Boston bombings killed by slipping poison into bottled water or canned food at a factory or lacing spinach in a field with a deadly chemical, it would have taken only minutes to a few hours to identify exactly where that food was manufactured and how it moved through the food chain. That would have quickly narrowed the search for suspects. But not anything to do with guns or gunpowder or explosives or anything like that. That'd be crazy to regulate that.
You have a right to bear bombs.
That'd be like regulating how much, I don't know, like fertilizer you're allowed to have in a plant. Oh, looky here. Fertilizer plant had 1,350 times the amount of explosives that it should have had.
No wonder it went kaboom.
And it hadn't been checked into since 1985.
Yeah.
There was supposed to be an earth-shattering kaboom.
Yeah. In West
and
Texas.
And great zoning there, too, right next to a nursing home.
Right.
And an elementary school.
Right.
It was supposed to have only supposed to have less than 400 pounds of explosive ammonium nitrate. Instead, it had 270 tons of the substance. 400 pounds is the threshold where the plant would have to inform the Department of Homeland Security about the amount of explosives. Unfortunately, the DHS didn't even know the plant existed. On top of that, the plant whose explosion registered on the Richter scale didn't have any sprinklers, firewalls, or water deluge systems. Facilities like the fertilizer plant fall into a regulation loophole.
Huh.
Isn't that
all
dandy?
All of Texas is a regulation loophole.
Yeah. No, exactly.
It's the libertarian paradise they all wanted.
There you go. No federal agency determines how close a facility handling potentially dangerous substances can be to population centers. And in many states, including Texas, many of these decisions are left up to local zoning authorities. Yeah, America.
Well, all right, then.
Yeah, that's freedom.
Well, you had the freedom to get blowed up.
Fertilizer plant was less than 3,000 feet, by the way, from a school. And as you also mentioned, a nursing home. Okay. Dawn in California. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dawn.
Hi, Stephanie. First of all, I've been a big fan of you of yours since you were on UPN, I believe. It was UPN years ago.
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh. But second of all, I was wondering why they don't charge people who use the AK-15s as using weapons of mass destruction, because they are designed to kill more than four.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was ironic, as Jim was just reading in the Guardian. Yeah, I mean, just the gun, the shame. I mean, and it took a lot of focus off how really, truly shameful this gun, what happened in the Senate last week, this whole gun debate is.
Yeah. I mean, the evening that they were hunting down these guys, I think something like 35 people died from gun violence.
Yeah, exactly.
How many people died in the explosions? Three? Was it? Or
what are we talking about? Which one?
13.
Oh!
Do you want to?
Oh, yes, I'll get to that in a moment. I was back to my softball days. That was like a third base, like batting coach. I'm like, what? Okay, Ed in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Ed.
Hey, good morning, Stephanie and crew.
Good morning.
I thought it was more than a little interesting that they interviewed one of the residents there. I think it was in the first gunfight in Boston. And apparently he had a couple of bullet holes in his apartment. And I thought that was more than a little frightening. In that kind of a situation, you got bullets flying like that.
Yeah.
And these are trained guys that are, you know, obviously the police officers were. It's just a bad situation.
Yeah, no, I mean, and, you know, you look at the how they were, the police were obviously armed and trained, and we still have, you know, obviously one dead and another very seriously injured still.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that anyone would in that debate would go, yeah, that's exactly what we need. We're more untrained people with high-capacity weapons just running around in a panic. All right. That's what we need is one more head with guns. You know what I'm saying?
You don't think, don't read the polls. The gun that wins has got control. You're owned by the NRA. They tell you what you can say. Whoa, you you don't answer to us. Oh yeah. Closer to the truth, you know you're just a big putz, and now you're gonna have to face it. You're a kid with guns. Might as well face it. You're a kid with guns. Might as well face it. You're a kid with guns.
Yeah!
And for your viewing pleasure for the TV audience, I was the Robert Palmer girl on guitar. Okay.
Yes. And that was Rocky Mountain Mike, and he played all of the instruments in that. That was not a karaoke track.
Did he dress up in the outfits?
Yes, he did.
I would have worn the little black dress if I'd known this morning. All right. 58 minutes after the hour. Eric Bohler from Media Matters next on The Stephanie Miller Show. I need a pronunciation guide on normal days, but really, the Boston suspect is Jokhar.
Jokhar.
Afar.
And his doctor is...
Dr. Furrier. It's Afar.
Okay. And he is responding to written questions, is the latest we're hearing at this hour. He is not able to speak yet. He was shot in the throat. They don't know if it was self-inflicted or not.
Right.
So they can still
hear. He has to answer.
Yes.
He has a wound in his throat. They don't know if it was a knife slit or if it was a gunshot. Mm-hmm. We don't know that yet.
Yeah. All right, so we're monitoring all of that. Speaking of pronunciation, it gave Tom Brokaw a chance to talk about bin Laden and Islamic radical.
With the death of Osama bin Laden, Islamic rage did not go away. In fact, in some ways, it's more dangerous. This is a perfect example. You can't get intel on the lone operator. So there's a lot that we still need to know about what motivated him, obviously. He's a Chechen, but their beef is with Russia, not with us.
He's also
a Muslim. And the fact is that Islamic rage is still out there. We saw it in Times Square. We were very, very fortunate under those circumstances. So there has to be more vigilance, obviously.
Vigilance against Islamic.
Obviously. Vigilance.
Fundamental.
That's not a fundamentalism.
All right. So much more to get to with all of that. Oh, by the way, this hour brought to you by...
It's brought to you by SaveThisBeach.org. 32 acres, 2,000 feet of beach, loons, little lady slumpers, and a cute beaver named Stephanie.
Hi.
Write your own joke. Chip in $5 to see the beaver swim wild. On Earth Day, donate $5 at SaveThisBeach.org.
Yeah.
Okay.
And today's Earth Day.
Thank you. Happy Earth Day, everybody.
Yes.
What better way to celebrate? Eric Bohler from Media Matters for America, doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bohler. Eric Bohler.
Let's dive into the right-wing world.
I don't know what that means.
Eric Bohler from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bohler. Eric. Good. Bohler, who is not an Islamic radical.
Exactly. Good morning, Eric Bohler.
Good morning.
You know, we were talking about this right-wing Republican guy from, where is it, Chris?
Arkansas,
that said, oh, you know, cowering liberals wish they had AK-47s.
Oh, yeah.
And we were like, yeah, that's what we needed. Panic people with assault weapons, just shooting at whoever the Washington Post says might not have been involved. You know, you did a great piece on this, but you also talked about Rupert Murdoch defending the New York, really defending
New York
the
Post.
New York Post?
Not Washington Post.
Yeah. Or excuse me, yeah, New York Post.
Yeah, so a couple of days after the fact, someone finally got around to telling Rupert Murdoch that his newspaper was a laughingstock last week. His beloved big city crime tabloid-chasing newspaper got everything wrong about Boston. 12 dead, Saudi national student, custody, suspect, splashes the photo of some poor Boston-area high school runner under the headline Bagmen. Suggests they're clearly suspects or people of interest. And what I wrote about during the week was, the headline was, this is bad even for the New York Post. I mean, nobody turns to the New York Post for sort of, you know, the definitive take on anything. But, I mean, tabloids, if they do anything well besides the sports section, it's supposed to be crime. You know, it's supposed to be having sources at the FBI. It's supposed to be having sources at police departments, not just in New York City and you know, elsewhere. That's why when they swooped in on Monday with these big scoops, 12 dead, Saudi student in custody, people were like, wow, I guess they're totally wired in the way no one else is. Turns out, they had the worst source on the planet, or they were just making stuff up.
Someone
finally got around telling that to Rupert Murdoch, and he tweeted that, you know, this Bagman photo. He said they were instantly taken down once the FBI sort of changed its story. They're still on the website. I don't know how.
Well, and Eric, wow. You know, you allude to it, and we've said this earlier. You know, it's good there wasn't even more, you know, further tragedy in this whole thing. You said, keep in mind, it was after unethical right-wing bloggers had already harassed the Saudi bombing victim online, published his name, home address, and what they claim were Facebook pictures of the 20-year-old Saudi national student, the same student police had cleared of any implication in the blast. But, you know, again, in that kind of heightened emotional atmosphere, I mean, that or the high school runner could have been harmed, right, or killed by somebody.
Yeah, and it's just the total height of irresponsibility. Media Matters had a good piece by Joe Strupp talking to, you know, ethicists and journalism people who were just like, they couldn't even come up with the adjective to describe what the New York Post had done, particularly with posting that photo. And then Joe Strupp got an email from the New York Post editor saying, well, you know, we would have needed a crystal ball to know we were getting these stories wrong. You know, we trusted our sources, and that's what we did. They were the only news organization in the planet that claimed 12 people were killed last week at the Boston
bombing. Well, and you also...
But they say, well, how could we have known? You know, everyone else knew. What is wrong with you people?
Well, I mean, the other thing is, you know, you compare and contrast CNN. You said, you know, obviously CNN got it wrong in a rush to be first, but they quickly and publicly corrected the errors. You say what we saw from portions of the far-right press was completely different. They almost couldn't have gotten more stories wrong if they'd tried. And in a sense, like you say, that was really dangerous. You say who led the early crusade against the bomb victim, Murdoch's New York Post, which erroneously reported he was a suspect who had been taken into custody. I mean, those are... That's just completely wrong, you know. And then you say the same post, which made headlines very irresponsibly, splashing on its front page the two local men, including a high school runner, with the headline "Bad Men." So, you know, again, the fact that those people weren't harmed or killed is you know, almost
is amazing. And the fact that you know, if they haven't called Richard Jewell's lawyer, they someone probably has on their behalf. Yeah. I mean, this. Glenn Beck last week saying the Saudi national student was possibly the ringleader, quote, absolutely involved, unquote, in the bombing. I mean, this to me seems classic libel. This is not a celebrity. This is not a public figure.
Huge lawsuit.
But then you went on to say Beck called for President Obama to be impeached over what he considered the sprawling government cover-up that now surrounded, the student, the Saudi Arabia, and Al-Qaeda. I mean,
nothing. You know, it's very interesting in this, and, you know, the Saudi national, you know, these poor, you know, young guys splashed on the front page of the New York Post. There was also a lot of right-wing chatter about a missing Brown University student might have been, involved in this, and authorities have said absolutely not. You know, look, if we take a step back, there was just an absolute burning desire to find a Middle Eastern guy to be the suspect. And the New York Post and other, you know, conservative outlets like Glenn Beck, they proved that they'll just make it up. You know, it was such a burning desire to have the story fit the narrative that they wanted, that they were willing, and they have the media tools to just start making stuff up and creating their own reality and creating their own parallel universe. Where, hey, it's a Saudi. Guess what? We decided it's a Saudi. So that's the story we're going to go with because that's the story we want. And if you just take a couple seconds, I mean, imagine – you know, thank God Glenn Beck wasn't around on 9/11. Thank God the Fox News of today wasn't around on 9/11. Thank God the right-wing blogosphere wasn't around on 9/11 to act in such a massively irresponsible way. I mean, we saw a tiny little window last week with this isolated event in Boston.
Eric, you summed it up best. You said, you know, faced with covering the most important American terror news story in a decade, too many players opted to just make stuff up, prompting witch hunts. They cast innocents as would-be killers and then couldn't be bothered with apologies. I mean, like you say, there's something to be said, you know, again, you know, obviously CNN took their hits last week.
Yeah.
They're getting stuff wrong, but you know, there's a difference between wrong and, as you say, like criminally negligent.
Yeah, and, you know, and I said it earlier in the week, and some people scoffed. I said, you know, my Twitter feed and Facebook was more reliable than the New York Post last week. I mean, I'm not joking.
Yeah, that's
you know, and I was watching the manhunt unfold Friday night. I mean, my Twitter feed was getting information faster and more accurate than CNN. I mean, I don't blame CNN or the others. But social media, with each new blockbuster story, I think, is becoming more and more important. Yes, you have to learn how to weed out the crazy stuff, but seriously, I trust Twitter more than I trust the New York Post. There is no question about that in my mind right now.
And you tweeted, for instance, about the fact you said most of these Twitter cons don't even realize that the suspect is an American citizen. They're allergic to facts. I mean, you know, we have Lindsey Graham already screaming about, you know, he should be treated as an enemy combatant. And obviously most legal experts are saying you can't, a U.S. citizen that commits a crime on American soil, you cannot, that he is not, you know, you can't do a military tribunal, right?
Yeah, and as I mentioned yesterday, I sort of joked, Philip Mudd, a former CIA executive, high official, was on Fox News this morning, and he said, you know, this looks more like Columbine than 9/11 or like that. And I sort of joked, you know, this is a guest who will not be invited back on Fox News. I mean, that is not what they want to hear. And he also said, you know, these people should be tried as murderers, not terrorists. So there's a whole interesting debate to be had about, you know, we still don't know the motivation or the specifics, and then how they should be treated by the legal system. But the usual suspects are running ahead about 10 paces to, again, just like last week, trying to get the story to fit the narrative that they want, the story that they want to tell, and it's right now it's not going the way they had hoped, and they're kind of frustrated and they're kind of lashing out, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. As only they can do. Eric Miller, great stuff as always. Talk to you next week.
Okay, bye-bye.
All righty, bye-bye. Okay. 17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Party, dance, everybody, make it hot in this party. Don't stop, move your body. Rock this party, dance, everybody, make it hot in this party.
Mm-hmm. 22 minutes after the hour, the legendary Lily Tomlin coming up next hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Lee in Nevada, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Lee.
Hi, Steph. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
I wonder what hypocrisy with our good Governor Perry over there, when he so said when Hurricane Sandy came along and he voted it down for assistance for them, and the first thing out of his mouth, he wants money for Texas all of a sudden.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They're always hypocrites on that
all
stuff.
All of a sudden something happens in his state, he wants the money. Yeah. What happened in Sandy? No, we have to offset it.
Yep.
It's altogether changed.
Well, he is governing that libertarian paradise where you can have as much fertilizer and explosives as you like.
So he was telling Chris Christie he had to tighten his belt?
Yes, he was.
Oh, stop it now.
The fertilizer plant that exploded, we mentioned this last hour, but it had been storing 1,350 times the amount of ammonium nitrate that would normally...
What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah, I think let's just let the states decide what kind of, if they can, and it was 3,000 feet from a school,
mm-hmm.
something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And even closer to the nursing home.
Yeah. Jill in Ithaca, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. On the poor ricin guy, what's a guy got to do to get some attention? What's an Elvis impersonator got to do these days, Jill?
How does he get ricin? How does that happen?
Yeah, that's another question. I mean, it's just the Boston story was so big, Jill, you're right.
Was it gluten-free ricin?
Yeah, and was it gluten-free? Exactly. I know.
And, you know, this takes me back, too, to the anthrax. When that was sent, that was only sent to Democrats. And the one guy that died had written a story about the Bush girls. So, sorry. Mm-hmm. You know, I just remember stuff.
Yep, exactly.
I remember stuff. No, but they sent it to the two people who were going to review the Patriot Act, who then couldn't review it and were voting on it blind.
Mm.
So that's not a coincidence.
Mm. Governor Deval Patrick on the bombing investigation.
It does seem to be pretty clear that this suspect took the backpack off, put it down, did not react when the first explosion went off, and then moved away from the backpack in time for the second explosion. So pretty clear about his involvement, and pretty chilling, frankly, as it was described to me.
The police commissioner in Boston said the two suspects had such a large cache of weapons, they were probably planning other attacks.
Yeah.
They found many unexploded homemade bombs at the scene, along with more than 250 rounds of ammunition. Authorities cannot be positive there are not more explosives somewhere that have not been found. The police commissioner said yesterday that the people of Boston are safe, he insisted. What now? That reminds me of the he's still out there, but you know what?
Yeah.
You're safe. It's okay to go out now.
Assuming the bombs can't be triggered by some random cell phone call or something.
That's troubling. I mean, I know during, you know, when we were reporting on it Friday night. I mean, it just, they didn't even know, you know, at the first house whether that was rigged. It was like something out of Speed, right?
Yeah.
You're going, is the house rigged with bombs? I know they disabled at least one device.
Mm-hmm.
We were saying that he is, what's his name, Joe Carr?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, I'm so somehow, it is literally Coneheads meets Batman.
We come from France.
It's
the New York Post.
I am Beldar.
Wants to bomb France now.
It also sounds like a cologne from the 80s.
Joe Carr and Beldar.
Joe Carr Noir.
Joe Carr Noir. Actually, that's what that means in Chechens. It's not.
No word of what the answers are, but he's answering questions in writing. He's still not able to speak. They don't know if the wound it was self-inflicted or he was shot by police or, like you said, it might have even been a
knife.
Knife.
Like he tried to slit his throat to kill himself, but it didn't work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In an interview with the AP, the parents insisted Sunday that Tamerlan, deceased one, that he came to Chechnya last year to visit relatives, had nothing to do with the militants operating in the volatile part of Russia. His father said he slept most of the time. He's a good sleeper.
Oh.
Dad wants us to know.
Okay. I am too.
Okay.
Whatever.
Okay.
Oh, by the way, you're not the only one who's having trouble with Joe Carr's name. There was a TV station in Texas that just kind of gave up and closed captioned it as Zooey Deschanel.
I saw that.
Yes. They just gave up.
Zooey. I give up. I don't know.
Bombing suspect Zooey Deschanel.
New York Post is a woman hunt out for Zooey Deschanel.
I had a friend that used to have an R problem, and I used to torture her by making her say Rory needs to go buy a hardware store mirror. And see, this is my revenge for that I have a whole story where I have to keep recording these names, and I don't...
To this day, I can't say the word jewelry.
You really can't.
I can't. It's awful.
I will keep that in mind.
Jewels. I call them jewels.
That's not what they are. They're... Can Rory purchase them at the hardware store?
You can purchase jewels there.
Can Rory purchase at the hardware store?
Poor Bubba Walter is in this story. Oh, no. Deval Patrick asking residents to observe a moment of silence today at the time the first of the two bombs exploded. And I love this part. In New York, thousands of runners yesterday donned I Run for Boston bibs during a four-mile run in Central Park, one of a number of races held around the world in support of the victims of the marathon bombings. There's a brief detente between Boston and New York that hopefully will get back to normal soon.
It's already back to normal.
Okay. That's when the terrorists win.
Yeah.
When Boston and New York don't hate each other. Hello, Shirley in Iowa. Welcome.
Well, thank you. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say I totally agree with the man who said that the guns are most of our problem that the other countries that take these people in don't have. I would like to add a little something to that. I don't want to change your subject, but I think that the hatred that the GOP puts out there on Fox News and the fact that not only are the people who set bombs trying to destroy us, so are the Republicans because they keep bragging how they want to shrink us down till they can drown us in the bathtub.
All right. Thank you. 29 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Easy to woo someone while you're sticking your naked butt in their face.
Works for
Stephanie Miller.
Boy,
it's called presenting.
Like a baboon.
Yeah.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour. Perusing through my Parade magazine. Yeah, we were saying it's a good thing George Bush isn't still president because he would have bombed France by now.
Yeah.
Belder, exactly. Belder. Lord, that's a conehead.
That's my name, Conehead. It's from France.
Oh, Jokar, that's different. Okay, hey, what is Belder's wife's name?
I need to know. I'm looking it up, actually.
The character played by Jane Curtin. Okay.
Chat room, do you know? Twitter, do you know?
Primat.
Yes.
Primat.
I am Belder.
Primat.
Primat. Conehead. Primat.
There you go. Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Or it's a new Batman movie, I think. Just saying.
A Batman villain, maybe?
Right.
Yeah.
Jokar. Okay. Governor Deval Patrick.
All of the law enforcement professionals are hoping for a host of reasons that the suspect survives because we have a million questions.
And we were reporting that I guess he is responding to written questions at this hour. We don't know what kind of answers we are getting or not.
Well, he's writing.
Right,
he's
writing, yes.
He can hear. He's just fine.
He just can't talk.
Speak.
Right. Yeah. Don't speak. Chris in Pennsylvania, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Chris.
Hi. Have you noticed that the Republicans seem to have two completely different standards for the Constitution? On the one hand, when it comes to the Second Amendment, it's written in stone, can't be touched. But when it comes to this argument over habeas corpus, where they want to charge this guy with as being an unlawful combatant, they're completely tearing up the Constitution. I want to read the quote that, yep, that pertains to the public safety. It says, "The privilege of habeas corpus shall not be suspended unless when in cases of rebellion or invasion the public safety may require it." Rebellion or invasion, how can they possibly consider what these two guys did with two little bombs?
Yeah.
What kind of an invasion is that?
Yeah.
Kind of,
and Chris, I can understand the administration, you know, with the Miranda thing, that you know, it clearly seemed like an imminent threat to public safety. But again, you're absolutely right. As some attorney was saying, there's no legal basis. And besides, as I mentioned earlier, I don't understand how this affects the immigration debate. What this guy that's in Jokar, he came to America when he was how old? He's 19 now.
Yeah.
10 years. He was nine.
Yeah.
He was nine.
Yeah.
Like, how do you prevent against somebody doing something bad later, 10 years later, after they? Because he's an American citizen, and it happened on American soil. So you can't. That is just a non-starter legally.
Well, apparently, the only part of the Constitution that matters is the Second Amendment.
Right.
Everything else is just blah blah blah, yada
yeah.
yada yada. Ta,
yeah.
blah, blah,
blah. Exactly. Carl in Maryland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Carl.
Yes, I just had an interesting thought about the immigration debate. Our country is willing to give amnesty to people like the bombers, but yet we don't want to give amnesty to any Hispanics, and I don't recall any of them ever trying to blow us up. Your thoughts?
Yes,
well, we can't have Spanish-speaking people in places like San Antonio and San Jose and San Francisco and San Diego and Santa Maria.
No.
That would be wrong.
Oh, that would be wrong.
Of course.
You see what he did there with that pronunciation?
Or even Los Feliz.
We should be Los Felices because it's plural.
It's
yes.
Happy.
The Happies.
The Happies.
Yeah. Okay.
Or San Pedro.
It always bugs me.
Richard Clark, a former counterterrorism chief yesterday.
They had other bombs, they had other explosives, and they were probably planning to do something else.
Yeah, that's what that's what the Boston police chief was saying yesterday on the TV. Mayor Thomas Menino of
Boston. He brainwashed his younger brother, and from there what happened on Marathon Day.
That's what, where is this? The AP just talking about, obviously, the question maybe who led whom, and obviously from all accounts it looks like the older, but I would do anything my older brother said, including put my head in the noose that he had fashioned for me, if you recall my hanging story.
Yes, of course.
One
like,
of many
Look,
stories.
Steffi, I have set up a chair for you.
Yes.
Please, put your head in here. And I was
okay.
Like, okay.
Computer says, yeah.
Did he at least tell you it was a necklace or something?
No.
He made you a nice new
piece
of jewelry.
I was going to lead you to that. You went there by yourself.
I had to drop the pass.
The uncle said of Jokar, he's not understanding anything. He's a 19-year-old boy. He's been absolutely wasted by his older brother. I mean, he used him. He used him for whatever he's done. And, you know, another criminologist they're quoting saying it's highly unusual for the younger participant, in this case a sibling, to be the leader. Yeah, my job was just to run from my brother whenever he yelled butkus or pumped his pump-action BB gun. Not to bring my old issues into it.
Of course not.
My other older sibling issues into this.
Well, fortunately, he's mellowed with age.
Yes, yes. He hasn't tried to hang me this decade. The ethnic Chechen, I can't say that.
Jewelry. Chechen jewelry.
Chechen family game came to
jewelry. This. Jewelry. Hamburger brand jewelry.
Came to this country in 2002 after fleeing troubles in the stands. Kyrgyzstan and Dagestan.
And Laurel Stan and Hardy Stan.
Right, exactly.
They need to buy some vowels, I think, especially Kyrgyzstan.
Right. They settled in a war. My sister has lived in two of the stands, you know.
Wow. Turkmenistan.
Yes, and Kazakhstan. They settled
where
in
the Baikonur Cosmodrome is.
Right. They settled in a working class part of Cambridge where the father opened an auto shop. So, again, we were saying, I'm not sure this is part of this current immigration debate when you think about it, because, first of all, that's different. It's asylum. It's fleeing. Mm-hmm. And again, the whole family came 10 years ago. I don't know how you how do you prevent someone who's nine from doing something bad 10 years later in terms of the The mother became increasingly religious as things progressed. She was a facialist, and somebody that got facials from her was said, she said the mother also expressed some rather strident views about the U.S. government. Mm. During this facial session, she started quoting a conspiracy theory, telling me she thought 9/11 was purposely created by the American government to make America hate Muslims. It's real. My son knows all about it. You can read it on the internet.
Oh, of course, because anything that's on the internet is true.
She, apparently, the uncle said a deep rift opened between him and his sister-in-law, that he tried to maintain a relationship with the boys. However, that effort began to fall apart several years ago. He said when Tamerlan started carrying on all this nonsense associated with religion, with the Islamic religion, when he asked his older nephew why he wasn't in school, he said, I'm in God's business.
Oh,
so
that's always a bad sign.
Yeah, that's a red flag. Mm,
yeah.
Yes, and he had gotten married to an American woman, a good Christian family girl is the way she was described, who then converted to Islam. That's who I guess they're trying to, she apparently found out on TV about this. That's another reason he doesn't sort of fit the profile, because he had a wife and a kid, but we'll see what all the information that comes out. One of the brother's neighbors said he had a bizarre encounter with Tamerlan in a pizza shop about 3 months ago. The older brother argued with him about U.S. foreign policy, the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, and religion. He said Tamerlan referred to the Bible as a cheap copy of the Koran, and that many of his country's wars are based upon the Bible, how it's an excuse to invade other countries. He had nothing against the American people. He had something against the American government. And Zokar became naturalized last September, federal officials told the AP. His older brother had a green card, but may have been thwarted in his quest for U.S. citizenship by an assault charge. There was apparently some domestic violence charge.
Yeah.
Right. So, we'll find out more from the FBI, because apparently Russia had asked them to investigate him at one point, but they came up with nothing at that particular point. The mayor of Boston.
Thank you. Thank you to the law enforcement officials for work together. State police, Boston police, FBI, all working together. That's when government works the best. I want to thank also the citizens out there. For the last week, worked in unknown what's happening out there because of the bombing at the marathon. But today, because of the hard work of so many individuals, my Boston police working together with the state police, we have a conclusion that we're all satisfied with.
Thank God for law enforcement.
Yeah, let's give it up.
Yeah. They did a
phenomenal
job.
And I love all the people cheering the
They had a parade at midnight in Watertown, Massachusetts. That was so awesome.
Yeah. The Maryland State Police Department, Timothy Aubin.
Massachusetts State.
Massachusetts, pardon me.
We are eternally grateful for the outcome here tonight. We have a suspect in custody. I want to thank all of the partners who worked tirelessly over the last 4 days, including the FBI, the Transit Police, our brothers with the Boston Police Department, the U.S. Attorney's Office, and the support that we've gotten from our governor over the last 4 days. We're exhausted, folks, but we have a victory here tonight.
Thanks to law enforcement.
I love the picture. There's one cop that has a huge smile on his face because, he's literally getting, rock star cheers.
Right.
I mean, and I don't know if you saw the Red Sox game. The Boston Red Sox had their first home game. On Saturday, the game acted as a citywide celebration of triumph over the bombers who tried to terrorize the city. Designated hitter David Ortiz, he's Big Poppy.
Yes.
That's what they're
Big Poppy.
He took the mic for a short but effective speech to the crowd. He said, "This is our city." Drawing rock star cheers once again, and nobody's going to dictate our freedom. Stay strong.
Included.
That was the big hashtag, Boston Strong.
And Neil Diamond took a red eye out there
to
sing Sweet Caroline in person.
Yeah.
Which is so awesome.
Yeah.
Someone sent me an interesting picture. There's someone in the crowd here with a black backpack, and there's a lady picture of the guy running sans backpack. So there may be someone else involved. in this thing. Unless the guy was just careless and left his backpack
on here. I'm sure that law enforcement is on it, if that is the case.
Law enforcement.
I don't know that
Neil, what are we, the New York Post?
Yeah.
Neil in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Neil.
Hey. I think it's disgusting that just like Benghazi, you know, the right-wing propaganda machine couldn't wait 5 minutes to make the whole thing a partisan issue. You know, it's just everything is about how Eric Holder screwed this up or, you know, habeas corpus, blah, 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 you know. And it's just, they just make people hate. And it's so sickening, you know, this one-trick pony of McCarthyist dog crap. I mean.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's supposed to be the timing, Neil, that, you know, Chuck Grassley's out there. I don't even think the tragedy's over yet. And he's talking about immigration reform. I mean, again, this gun guy in Arkansas, the Republican, you know. I mean, really, you want to taunt the people of Boston in the middle of this while this is still going on? That, oh, I bet a lot of cowering liberals wish they had an AK-47 tonight. I mean, it's just,
The old saying goes, you know, united we stand, divided we fall. And the right wing has said, yeah, we'll take the latter.
Yeah, exactly.
Who
are they going to shoot at? Just fire randomly into the crowd, hoping to hit a bad guy?
Yeah, that would have been a much better outcome. 45 minutes after the hour. Let's give it up for the highly trained individuals with AKs that are the ones that really are the heroes today. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It even vibrates like real.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 50 minutes after the hour. Legendary Lily Tomlin coming up next hour. 1-800-STEPH-12. Brett.
Oh, legendary Lily Tomlin.
Thank you, Tom. Brett in Louisiana. Hi, Brett.
Good morning. How are you today?
Good morning.
First off, I'd like to identify myself more as conservative and not Republican. A lot of people want to make Republican Democrat when really I think most of our problems come down to conservative and liberal.
All right.
You know, it really bugs me that we all can't get along. You know that, you know how that phrase goes?
Yes.
The right complains that the left not tolerant of them. And, you know, I, as far as someone on the right, have experienced a whole lot of intolerance from those on the left. And it's a two-way street. And if we don't address we can sit here and make fun all day long of each other, but we're not solving any problems. And that's what I care about. I don't care what anybody else does. That's their life. And I respect that. But a lot of people on the left don't respect my beliefs. And, you know, you can't have it both ways. But the reason I was calling is I didn't hear the comment of the politician from Arkansas about the AK-47.
He said
in Boston.
Brett, it was in the midst of, you know, all of this attention on Friday when he said, I bet a lot of cowering liberals in Boston wish they had AK-47s tonight. So it obviously provoked a lot of...
Obviously the people of Boston have shown they know what they're doing with a criminal like this, and so they didn't need AK-47s in every house.
Because they got law enforcement.
It was a little presumptive of that Arkansas state senator to say that.
Right. And, you know, but in all honesty here, for every Republican politician that opens his mouth and sticks his foot wide in it, you know, I can show you a Democrat that does the same. But I think we're missing the point here.
I don't think exactly the same amount. But okay. Well,
regardless of what the statistical numbers are, if you look at what he was saying, really, and I didn't hear his words, so he obviously chose bad words to say it. But if I was a homeowner and I was locked down in my house, that guy could have easily, instead of gone to the boat, busted in the front door on a family. I damn sure want a gun in my house if I got a terrorist that doesn't care about blowing up 3-year-old kids coming in my house.
Right, Brett, but nobody's talking. He wasn't talking about the Second Amendment or your right to, you know, protect yourself. He picked a moment in the midst of this tragedy to you know, first of all, that's an insult to say cowering liberals and to suggest that everybody needs an assault weapon. I mean,
who are they going to shoot?
I think law enforcement did a pretty good job. The people that were trained to use assault weapons did, didn't they?
Yeah, I think they did a good job, too. But, see, sometimes you hear tomato and I hear tomato. And that's the difference between people that support gun rights and people that don't support gun rights.
I support gun rights. I don't support everybody's right to own a military assault weapon with an unlimited clip. Does that mean I don't support gun rights?
Yeah, there are shades of gray here. It's not completely black and white.
You know, because nowhere in the Constitution do I remember in the Second Amendment it's saying that the Second Amendment was granted to the people for hunting or for recreation. There's a lot
of it's but it's the regulated militia.
Yes, it's the only amendment in the Constitution with the word regulated in it.
And, yes, it's conditional.
We had muskets when they voted. But okay.
Exactly.
Given that we need a well-regulated militia, people will be allowed to have guns. That's what it means. It's not just a bunch of random syllables.
And nobody's keeping track of which douche nozzles on which side of the aisle said what. However, we missed yet another one last week. Dennis Johnson, Oklahoma Republican lawmaker, apologizes to the Jews for the...
in general? Or anything in specific?
For the... Jew me down comment.
For what?
Dear. Oh, dear.
Oh, really?
Oklahoma State Representative Dennis Johnson, Republican, apologized for using the phrase Jew me down. While speaking on the virtues of small business in a debate over a bill on Wednesday, he said they might turn a Jew me down on a price. Oh. That's fine. That's free market as well. He was then, I love this, he was then handed a note about 15 seconds later.
I'm told I wasn't supposed to say that. Turns out Jew is not a verb.
Did I? He said to a colleague. I said, what now? He said, I apologize to the Jews.
To
chew me down. That's what I meant to say.
They're good small businessmen as well. What? What did I say?
Oh, God, really?
They're good with money. What?
You know what?
Johnson
show me a paw, Jew.
Expanded on his apology. He said it just came out of one of the wrinkles in my brain, and it was not something that was intentional. One of the many, many racist wrinkles in his brain. I certainly didn't mean to offend. You know when they do a breakdown of what part of your brain does what?
Yeah.
Just like stereotypes is like the largest part of his brain.
It's the biggest wrinkle.
Racist stereotypes is just most of it.
It's the biggest wrinkle. Yes.
And then beer and sex. That's it.
And guns. Yes.
It was certainly not something intentional. I certainly didn't mean to offend anyone. See, it's the oversensitive Jews again.
Yeah.
And I apologize for the folks that I did offend. For the touchy Jews that I may have offended.
It's just one of those old-time phrases I use a lot.
It is a comment that should never be made. I will never do it again. In public. Oh, I didn't say that part. Texas State Representative Larry Taylor had to apologize in 2011 for urging an insurance association to treat policyholders well and not try to Jew them down. So he was just trying to protect the insurance policyholders. Okay. All right.
It's 2013. For criminy's sake.
You know what the news really covered is how awesome Sexy Liberal in Chicago was. Audra and Kate, right, Steph? Great seeing you. It was wonderful to get together with such an amazing bunch of people. You bring all these people together. It's awesome. Some are really cool. Some are kind of weird. But that's okay.
Some are awesomely weird.
We just get each other and accept and embrace the differences. They celebrate their differences. That's what we do at
Sexy
Liberal.
You're not going to make me play
that. No, I am not. It's all good. I hated high school. Never went to a reunion of any type in my life, but the Sexy Liberal stuff is different. I feel like a cool kid and not a huge dork, which I am. Audra, we're all cool kids at Sexy Liberal. We celebrate.
Yep. We got to celebrate our differences.
Really?
We got to celebrate.
No, I was saying, you know what? That's why the Ryson guy, at least one person hands me something like that.
Oh,
there's always one at every event. There's like, I'd like you to read this thing I wrote. This
it's covered with ricin.
Oh boy. Okay. But they were
sure
rolling with
your fingers.
They were rolling with John and Pam too. Audra and Minnie.
You know, every now and then John and Pam pack up their three cats, hook up that fifth wheel, and head out on down the road. Listen to the story now.
Drive all that way if I couldn't give my honey bun a kiss. I just kissed that little face right off.
Well, they left their home in Ohio, and they're making their way to Chicago. You don't have to worry, cause they'll never hurry. Cause Sexy Liberals are always happy to give. Fifth wheel keep on turning, John and Pam keep on burning.
Yeah.
Burning, rolling, rolling, all right, rolling on the fifth wheel. All right, go.
Thanks to everyone on Facebook for pictures of the Chicago show. Thanks to everybody who came on out. All right, legendary Lily Tomlin, much more, the latest out of Boston as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, legendary Lily Tomlin coming up at the bottom of the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, stephaniemiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Somebody was, did they tweet or email?
No, they emailed me. It was Chris in Texas. Says, the only zoning they have in Texas has to do with how many feet from schools the topless bars have to be. Other than that, someone could buy a house next door to you and turn it into a church, daycare center, or a liquor store.
So the kids are safe from the
boobies,
but not
lighter,
from...
Right. Fertilizer doesn't kill people. Boobies kill people.
Boobies
kill
do.
People.
Well, yeah. Politicians. Those kind.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. That sounds dreadful.
All right. So, obviously, just a crazy, crazy news week. Last week, we the latest on the Joe Carr, the bombing suspect. He's answering questions in writing. He still cannot speak, but we don't know no word on what the answers are yet. And by the way, there's been a lot. That's the college that he went to. They interviewed, obviously, kids that went to school with him. Mm-hmm. Emily said he stood out because of some odd behavior, like spreading messy string cheese all over her couch and picking up her cat and carrying it upstairs for no reason. He said, we just didn't...
That's an M.O. for something?
I'm not sure what the FBI would make
string
of that.
String cheese and cats. I knew it.
That's just a weird kid.
That's just weird.
Yeah.
We just didn't invite him over after that. She said, how many people just pick up your cat and go upstairs? Okay.
Whatever.
I'm not really certain what that would be a sign of.
String cheese?
No, the cat. He picked
Maybe
the cat up.
He's using the string cheese to indoctrinate the cat.
Right. There must be some connection. The suspect's uncle, they've obviously interviewed family members. Mm-hmm. This is Ruslan.
Became concerned.
It was different than Milan. Seeing no purpose in life. But pursue path of God. I ask, what is the path? He would say, it's some kind of jihad. Okay, do you know the translation of word jihad? Do you know what that is?
So they're obviously looking into this trip that he took back to, was it Chechnya, actually, or somewhere?
I think it was Russia.
I thought it was one of the stands, perhaps. and what the purpose of that was. The relative said, no, he just slept a lot. He's a good sleeper, which that's nice to know.
So am I.
Yeah, and really? And you own a cat, and you love cheese.
Wait a minute.
Jacques.
I've been profiled.
And you live upstairs. Jacques.
They're trying to piece things together. I don't know.
I've never been to Chechnya, though.
The suspect's uncle. Yeah, that's your story.
Check my records.
Suspect's uncle.
His brother was not really his brother.
Hmm?
He used him.
This is the Robert Duffy, the stepson of the boat owner. This was obviously the big break in the case on Friday.
And the tarp from the boat was kind of askew. He went over to it, trying to adjust the straps. He realized one of the straps had been cut. At that point, he noticed there was a small amount of blood. He looked forward, not knowing what he was actually looking at. His brain told him there was a body, but he wasn't sure there was a body. At that point, he immediately jumped down, called 911.
It was only about a half an hour, I think, after they, announced the suspect's names, correct, on Friday night. So don't you hate that when you lift up your boat tarp and there's a bloody Chechen in there? Hate when that happens.
Happens all the time.
Yeah, and then that was it. It was at the end of an incredible news week. The Tamerlan, the dead bomber. Suspect. Are we saying suspect?
Suspect.
Suspected Boston bomber may not get an Islamic funeral. In the days since the two deadly bombs and separate shootings that followed brought Boston to a standstill, the region's Muslim community has loudly condemned the violence and distanced itself from the suspects. One, the head of the Islamic Institute of Boston said, I would not be willing to do a funeral for him. This is a person who deliberately killed people. There's no room for him as a Muslim. He already left the fold of Islam by doing that. In the Quran, it says those who kill innocent people, they will dwell in the hellfire. So, you know, obviously a lot of... and then we were saying that people in... Islamic groups, even in Chechnya, are saying our fight is not with the United States, it's with Russia.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be a while before they understand exactly what all these, what the motives were. Let's go to Sheila in Virginia. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Sheila.
Hi, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
Okay, I think maybe this would be a good time to nominate a director for the ATF.
Yeah, it might be. Might be.
And they might want to rethink their policy about cutting back on police forces all over the place.
Yeah.
Yeah. Think about that. And just Texas and Boston alone, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, they have to make up their minds.
You know, that's a good point. We've seen so much of this from the right, this sort of, you know, union bashing and public employee bashing, which, and then, boy, you look at what happened in Boston, and you sure were grateful for law enforcement, weren't you?
Absolutely.
This is a West Texas resident.
We are frustrated because, you know, it's just like, well, let's get her settled. You just can't settle.
And you know, I don't care people that go, oh, it's their job. Well, you know, a lot of firefighters died in Texas rushing in to try to help people, and they are heroes, along with the cops. Can you imagine what it was like to be a cop in Boston last week?
Oh, God.
I bet the NRA wants to change ATF to alcohol, tobacco, and fertilizer.
Hey, Bill in Albany, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Stephanie and Mooks. Yeah, pretty wild week. I'll tell you, you know, all those gun people who want to stand up against the tyranny of the government, how would they like to have 9,000 people who fall down on them? Come down on them, and they're going to, believe me, you want to fight this government, you're out of your mind.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when they take their AK-47 and jump in the back of their boat in their backyard, just know it ain't going to work out too well.
Yeah, exactly. Tim in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tim.
It's Jim.
Jim.
Hey, Jim.
Okay, then. Hi, Jim.
That's all right. I think the last guy was a little drunk, but that's all right. two quick points. First of all, If this had been a Republican president, I think you would have dedicated several shows to how he screwed up and allowed a terrorist act to take place. That was one. The second point is, wait.
Are you going to compare this once again to 9/11? Is that what you're going to compare this to?
One last point, and I will be quiet, I promise.
Okay.
The other thing is, how about, as far as after 9/11, everyone was saying how George Bush took everyone's freedoms away and Obama was going to restore those freedoms and all that. Mm-hmm. What happened to all that?
I have a problem with the Patriot Act not being repealed.
Right. The Patriot Act should have been repealed.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I have a problem with that.
Right? So Obama doubles the number of federal wiretaps. Mm-hmm. He expanded the Patriot Act. How are we more free with Obama as president?
The difference is we do talk about that on the left, and people do have concerns about it.
It's not because he's
too
liberal.
Tim, not everything is cut and dried. I agree with the public safety exemption, that he was not read Miranda rights, and I guess I'd be considered a liberal, right? But I disagree with John McCain and Lindsey Graham that he should be tried as an enemy combatant. That's just legally a non-starter.
I agree, too. I agree
after
with that.
You.
One other thing.
All right.
After you. Oh, no.
Okay.
You first. Right. Thank you.
See? That was magic, wasn't it? Okay. One more thing? No.
No.
No. Not on my show. Okay, Mark.
And just another 27 things.
Yeah, I'll be the judge of that, whether there will be one more thing. Because I have a finger, and it can hit a dial tone.
Yes.
Hello, Mark in Pennsylvania.
Good morning. How are you today?
Good. Go ahead.
You know, honestly, I'm pretty fed up with the Democrats, the Republicans. I think that it comes down to what Abraham Lincoln said 155 years ago, and that is that a house divided cannot stand by itself, and that the bottom line is that there's just too much extremism between the Democrats and the Republicans. Nobody's getting along. And the reality is, I'm just an American fed up with both parties behaving badly. The country's
in
the hell.
I was on your team last week. We were in the "we hate everyone" mood after Democrats voted against the background checks. So you know
what, Stephanie? It's not Democrats. It's Republicans. It's the nobody's addressing the fact that this country's going to hell. And the bottom line is that, you know, I have a wonderful little 11-year-old, and I'm getting on his case about getting good grades, about doing the right thing. And he said to me, you know, what the hell's the point? He said, what's the point when you have a doctorate from MIT and you can't get a job? And you know, somebody like Honey Boo Boo can make $40,000 a week just being an idiot. Where
well,
is this country
we've
going?
Always been idiots. This country's always, we've always been idiots in that regard.
Yeah.
And Honey Boo Boo's mom looks like a thumb.
She does.
And that's America. Yeah, I mean, look, there's always been that imbalance, right? I mean, look at what cops make, and look at what the Kardashians make, and look at what, you know, what would the Kardashians have done about Boston, I wonder? Let's go to Tom in Texas. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tom.
Good morning, Ms. Miller.
Good morning.
I just got one thing to say from this bleeding heart liberal. What we would probably do is probably kick this kid's ass, hold him down on the ground, and keep him there for law enforcement to come so that due process under the Constitution could be implemented.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, rather than shooting him.
And, Chris, I'd like to say thank you because thanks to Governor Perry down here, most of our firefighters are voluntary because he's gutted the infrastructure so bad that. Yeah. You know, and God love these people for, you know, for putting their lives on the line.
Absolutely.
I like to say thank you, people.
Yep.
It's good to have somebody talking for the right side of the law now.
All right. Thank you.
Aaron, why should there be any regulation for those big fertilizer plants? What could possibly go wrong?
And by the way, we did wait till this was in the midst of the tragedy. Did anybody talked about that? I mean, this is when it came out today about how many, you know, how much, what was it, 1,350 times the amount of ammonium nitrate that would normally trigger safety oversight, regulation of any kind by the Department of Homeland Security. But Jonathan writes, Steph, I love that statement. I bet those cowering liberals in Boston wish they had an AR-15 right now. Way to kick people when they're down, just the way Jesus would have wanted. Good Christians. How insensitive. What would have happened if a Democrat in the midst of the Texas thing obviously had said, I bet those stupid conservatives wish the West Fertilizer Company was regulated. Again, it's different to talk about it, I think, after the fact when you realize this is something that could have been prevented and probably should have been. I believe it. What did I say? It's within 1,300 feet of a school and a nursing home.
Yep.
And, you know.
And the difference is the Democrats on Capitol Hill are voting to send funding, you know, to help. Yeah. In the aftermath of the West
Someone
Texas
made that point
fertilizer
earlier.
Plant.
Right. The Rick Perry spoke out against Hurricane Sandy
and
aid.
Both senators voted against Hurricane Sandy aid.
Yeah.
Wow. And now both senators are asking for aid for West Texas.
Yeah, because that's what we do. We're Americans. We help each other.
Wow.
Okay.
Not in Texas.
18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This was so funny in my head when I planned it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, 22 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Wade in Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Wade, welcome.
Hi, Stephanie. I was kind of wondering, I think that it's a very good thing that Boston was locked down so quickly to catch this felon. But I wonder, did anybody notice or think that with socialism coming or with whatever the government has planned for the people, I would think that one of the first things they would do is take away our guns. And as fast as this lockdown happened, I mean, within just hours, they shut this whole area down. Towns around
that
Boston.
That was phase one in the president's plan to take all our guns?
Yes, it's the dress rehearsal.
And I think that they could shut this whole nation down just twice as fast if nobody had guns. And maybe this is what the agenda is. I don't know.
You sound kind of crazy there, Wade.
Of course.
not at all. I'm just wondering. I'm like
you're just
most
wondering.
Americans.
Well,
how
many, actually just another
how many guns,
guns
do you
I
need
think.
To take on the U.S. Army and the Marine Corps and Air Force and the Navy?
You don't think, don't read the polls, the gun that wings has got control. You're owned by the NRA.
Yep.
They tell you what.
us. Oh yeah. Closer to the truth, you know you're dressed a big part, so now you're gonna have to face it. You're a kid with guns. Might as well face it. You're a kid with guns. Might as well face it. You're a kid with guns. Might as well face it, you're a kid with guns.
Thank you, Rocky Mountain Mike. And for your, again, television audience, I was doing the Robert Palmer girl.
Yes.
Those all y'all on the radio. You missed it. Thanks. Would have worn the black dress had I known. Bill in San Diego writes, Steph, watched your honey Lawrence O'Donnell. He is my honey. He's handsome and romantic.
He's not a dog.
He was asking the former ATF special agent the one thing that could have helped, we mentioned this earlier, the Boston bombing case, the ability to trace gunpowder.
Yes.
And why doesn't the FBI have that ability? What I heard next floored me. He said in the 70s, the ATF and 3M Corporation developed a technology that would enable them to trace explosives.
Taggants.
Right. Mm-hmm. They were very excited about it. It's one of the Romney kids. They were very excited about it and sent it into the field and actually solved a major case. When it got to the Hill, the NRA got involved and blocked it from being used. Saying if they allow ATF to tag explosives, then they will tag explosive powders.
So?
And then who knows what else they would try to tag. Uh-huh. As our last caller was saying.
Yeah.
Very good, Jim. Clearly the socialist president's dress rehearsal,
mm-hmm.
Boston particularly.
Take your guns away!
Yeah, the whole country will be on lockdown just so you can, you know, look over there. Got your gun.
The whole point of that is to catch the bad guys.
Yeah.
Right.
Not the good guys with guns, the bad guys.
Right. Right. Somebody was saying that the only thing that stops a bad guy with a pressure cooker is a good guy.
With a pressure cooker.
So right. We all need to get
pressure
cookers.
Yeah, if only they had AR-15s and could have shot wildly into the crowd, shooting anyone with a backpack or a
hat. Right,
but
the New York Post things might be vaguely involved.
Yeah, someone carrying a KitchenAid mixer.
Perfect.
You know?
Right. Yeah. Right. Arlene in Alabama, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
That's terrific, Bass.
I was just, what Jim was just saying there, I was wondering, too, while they were talking about all the people cowering and wishing they had AK-47s, I think we should just be thankful the bombers didn't decide to use AK-47s rather than pressure cookers.
Well, yeah. Well, it's a Russian gun. That'd be a dead giveaway anyway.
Right. Right. By the way, we were talking about somebody. I thought I was having a hard time with the name pronunciations,
mm-hmm.
and one station just they just call it the Chiron said Zoe
Deschanel.
Yeah.
They just gave up.
Yeah.
Damien in Pennsylvania said, guys, in the early 2000s, I worked at a closed captioning company that handled a lot of live breaking news used court reporters to do it. One of them was doing a story about Alan Greenspan going into the hospital with an enlarged prostate. However, her finger slipped, and what went over the air was enlarged prostitute.
Don't call Andrea Mitchell that.
As if that wasn't embarrassing enough for her. It seemed like every news outlet in the country thought it was funny and had to report on it. So Jenny was captioning every single one of those newscasts.
Oh, no.
Reliving her little gaffe over and over and over again.
Oh,
it's hilarious.
Dave in Pennsylvania, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dave.
Yeah, this Boston deal, I'm completely opposite of that other guy. What I see is you had one guy with one gun, and they shut down a whole city. And you got 300 million guns out in the country. What would be the cost and the logistics to go out and collect them 300 million guns off of people?
Yeah,
is that possible? You know, I was
Well, Dave, but I mean, the other thing is that this wasn't just a guy with a gun. It was obviously they had explosives, and they still don't know how if there's more that might be that have been unexploded. But go ahead.
That's true, but in the 60s, I was part of an attempted mass gun confiscation over in Vietnam. We had B-52 bombers, napalm, Agent Orange, helicopter gunship. We had access to Puff, that their old C-47 with the Gatling gun.
Right.
One burst covered the whole football field in one burst. Now, when I left, after 16 months of that, they had more guns than when we got there. And you know where they got the guns from, off of our dead soldiers' bodies. And they didn't use guns to do it. They would use IEDs, road bombs. They would blow up restaurants and bars downtown.
Right. Yep. Exactly. As we were saying earlier, because George Bush was on the cover of Parade, thank God he wasn't still in charge. He would have bombed France because he would have thought it was Belder.
Beldar. He comes from France.
One of them Coneheads, Laura. Beldar and Jokar. We already do. Who, what's his wife? Beldar's wife was?
Primat. Aramis. Primat. Right.
They all sell like perfumes from the 70s.
Right, yeah.
29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show with Lily Tomlin.
Stephanie Miller.
Unbelievable. It is way too early for this, guys. I haven't even had my first cup of wine today.
Oh, no, and I'm nervous. Getting ready to talk to a legend 34 minutes after the hour. This just in from Tom Brokaw.
This just in, appearing on Stephanie Miller's show, legendary Lily Tomlin, formerly of Rothen. And that's the truth.
Good morning, Lily Tomlin.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Sorry, we just can't help ourselves. We're a little punchy. It's been a big news week, as you know.
And without a doubt.
And you know what we need tonight? We need a break. And we could, if we wanted one, tune into HBO at 7 o'clock for an apology to elephants.
That's true.
Did you see what I did there?
An yeah, apology. It was really master, let's see, master, what it would be, the feminine.
You just woke up, didn't you?
Well, kind of. I so wanted to come to the studio, but it was just more demanding than I thought.
I understand. I understand. So I have to say I'm fascinated with elephants as well. You have to tell us about this. This sounds like an amazing special. You narrate this.
Yeah.
You executive produced it. Right. Jane Wagner. I've heard of her.
Yes, right. Yes. And no, I've been active with elephants, advocating for elephants in captivity for a long time, starting with the L.A. Zoo, and then I worked with the Dallas Zoo. I worked with Seattle up north, and I've just had a big interest in elephants and wanted this piece tonight to be, I thought it was so perfect, this, you know, that little Mark who died in the marathon and
yeah.
No more hurting people. I mean, I wish it would become our anthem
in
general. And so this is, the elephants are earthlings too.
Yeah.
So no more, just no more hurting.
Well, and Lily, you mentioned the LA Zoo because I remember it's just there's always these heartbreaking stories about elephants in the news that just because they are so intelligent and so I mean you hear all the time about you know them weeping for their you know deceased
right. And fondling, they go return to the scene of a death of one of their family and they fondle the bones and.
Yeah.
Or if they come across them, they really investigate the bones, thinking it might be somebody they know.
Aww.
No, it's pretty profound. And they just represent for me like the elephant, the big elephant in the room, just as Mark spoke about, no hurting people.
Yeah.
They're so big and so it's so undeniable how much they suffer in captivity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
well, in the Apology to Elephants tonight on HBO, it describes, obviously, you know, the sometimes really brutal treatment that elephants undergo when they're trained to perform, psychological trauma, the physical damage that they're done, you know, by being kept by circuses and zoos. Tell us a little more about it.
Well, in the documentary, Pat Derby, who's just died just a month or so ago or less, she ran the... Paws, the sanctuary up north, Performing Animals Welfare Society, and she had been an animal trainer. So I visited the sanctuary. I visited up there at Paws. I can hear my lips aren't moving, but other than that, I think I'm coherent. In circuses, no one ever asked themselves in the past, well, God, that's so fabulous, that little elephant riding a tricycle. Or standing on its head, or how do they get them to do that? It's just wonderful. Well, how they get them to do it is very brutal.
Yeah.
You can't possibly get an elephant to ride a bicycle unless you beat him into submission in some way, or so that he feels, or he or she feels, that she better ride that bicycle, or she's just going to have continue to feel pain. So yes, the circus. Anyway, what I meant to say is, Pat Derby says in the movie, she says a zoo can be fixed. And that's also somewhat difficult, but circuses cannot because the training of the animals to do these tricks is just brutal, horrific, really.
Yeah, I mean, Lil, you know, I'm an animal lover from way back as when, and I've always had that sense long before, you know, people started talking about it. Just going to a circus, you go, they can't like doing this. They can't enjoy this. And I think you're right. There's a difference. I mean, the zoos, I mean, some of the enclosures I've seen them in are obviously abuse. But you're right. The circus is just, that's beyond, that's just for our entertainment, you know.
Well, we even spotlight one circus, the Oakland Circus up north, is, you know, a zoo that's really trying to accommodate and take care of the elephants in a decent way. But the point is, you really shouldn't be bringing them into the country and breeding little baby elephants into captivity, and the breeding programs are not that successful anyway.
Yeah. What about zoos? Because obviously, you know, again, there's just some, it's just inadequate room for them in a lot of places, right? For them,
I would say most places. I don't know, how can you in some places the climate is too cold. They're just not, elephants aren't used to that freezing climate. Up in Seattle, the elephants stay enclosed like 18 hours a day, 7 months of the year because it's too cold.
Yeah, yeah.
And they develop such terrible arthritis from standing in one place. Most zoos, they allot maybe a quarter of an acre for an elephant, one or two elephants. And here's an elephant, 8,000-10,000 pounds, standing on dirt that in 20 or 30 years is just like standing on cement.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what happened at the L.A. Zoo? I remember that story.
Well, we never did get Billy freed to the sanctuary. We got Ruby out. And she went up to pause because they were planning on building the big exhibit that they've built. And they went through all kinds of shenanigans with Billy, but he still never was transferred to a sanctuary. And because a big bull elephant is also strong, extremely aggressive, and he's been isolated somewhat. They built the big savanna at the zoo, about 6 acres, but about only half of it is usable because they have to electrify the foliage, otherwise the elephants will eat it.
Right.
They love to pull up little trees and forage, and they walk miles and miles every day. They don't stand in one place or just walk around in a circle around, you know, a small enclosure.
Well, and Lil, you know, for those of us that care not just about animals, but the planet, you know, it's described in here, they're a keystone species. They provide, promote biodiversity, helping trees, plants, and animals flourish. They're highly intelligent, empathetic, social animals. They're unique and remarkable. I mean, not just, you know, on our planet, but you talk about in this documentary poaching.
Poaching is really completely deadly here because they've lifted the ban on poaching again, and we have only like 100,000 African elephants left, and they've been killed. Elephants have been poached at about 38,000 a year, so there's not much time for these elephants.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just interesting, that, you know, the way they describe them. They're known as the gardeners of the forest.
And you just had that wonderful little spot on your advertising about visit the forest, and
yes. Yeah, right.
See what it does for you.
But I don't think people realize the whole where they fit. You know, they clear large trees and branches for food, which makes way for smaller plants and animals to thrive. But as you were saying, because of the ivory trade and the habitat destruction, you know, as you were implying, they're vulnerable or endangered. They're at the risk of extinction over the next 10 years, right?
That's true. And I know that's the most persuasive for probably an individual to grab onto it, but it's no more hurting. I mean, that's what I meant about it being emblematic, symbolic of all the pain and hurting in the world, really, and the stupidity of turning away from it.
Yep.
And pretending it doesn't exist, or not even caring if it exists.
Yep. In the apology to elephants, the first thing we need to know is the elephants need our help, and that pretty much sums it up.
Yeah, and sort of sums it again. For me, it's symbolically, it sums up the human species needs our help.
Yep. As you said in Search for Signs, the problem with the rat race is even if you win, you're still a rat.
I wish I was articulate. No wonder you have the job you have.
And, oh, I appointed you to someone else this weekend because we were all whining about something, and I said language was developed because of man's deep internal need to complain.
Yes, right.
And we have nothing to complain about. We should be apologizing to the elephants, an apology to elephants at HBO on HBO tonight at 7 o'clock. Executive produced and narrated by the legendary Lily Tomlin.
And so articulate in the morning.
You are.
Or even afternoon, for God's sake.
You are spectacular at any time.
Well, I'm certainly glad I have you as a
straight person.
Thank you. Well, I didn't know how you meant that, but okay.
Kind of, yeah.
Not that straight,
in a
but okay.
roundabout kind of way.
All right. Lily, love you.
Love you.
All
love
right,
you guys,
honey.
All of you.
All right. Love
thanks,
you.
Lily.
You
love
soon.
You right back.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's right. She started with Alan Alda.
Lily Tomlin started Alan Alda.
In
Flirting with Disaster.
Flirting with Disaster.
Exactly.
One of the funniest movies ever made. Right.
Did it take place in Florida, by any chance?
It's the first time we've ever had a round where we didn't quote her lines back to her like we normally do.
That's true.
I'm a doctor. I'm a doctor. Piss off.
Well, I did say, and that's the truth.
Yes, you did say that.
All right. Tell me. We got that quote in.
Yeah. Yeah, you haven't sat at a dinner party with her. Remember the time in Incredible Shrinking Woman when you fell in garbage disposal?
Concepcion! I love that movie.
I love that movie the most of everything.
I think
God, I love that movie so much. Okay, Kathy in Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Kath.
Hey, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
I just wanted to say thank you guys for taking all of these calls because, I mean, what I've noticed in the past year and a half is everybody that calls for, you know, the gun rights are white males.
Yeah,
pretty much.
You know, Jim and Chris, I love you guys to death, but I'll tell you what, white males are the ones that are in favor of all of this, and it's horrific. You don't hear many women calling, you know, saying for, you know, hey, give me my AK-47, give me my this, give me my that. You don't hear blacks, you don't hear Hispanics. It's all white males.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, not there. Gangs that have a lot of guns.
Yeah,
too.
But I blame you, Mooks. She's places, right.
But yeah, it's my fault.
Yeah,
basically,
yeah. I don't need another reason to blame you guys. Okay,
you blame us every day,
right?
Hindenburg, baby, my idea.
You're the people closest to
the
me.
Hindenburg.
Yeah. Who else will I lash out at?
Hence the stapler-shaped bruises on the sides of our heads.
There you go. You're lucky I don't have an AK. Okay.
AR 47.
AR whatever.
5,
bingo.
17.
All right. 45.
You sunk my battleship.
We're tired. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is a happening spot.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Keep it coming up. Keep it coming.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Oh, you know what? Trust me, you'll be like me. You will be giggling later at things Jim Ward says in the morning, perusing my Parade magazine article about the Bushes. And we were speculating. Look at that look on Laura's face. Just,
yeah.
Holy crap. Seriously, George, get a job. Because we were just saying how many. It's like living with an 8-year-old. Look, I drew another picture of me.
See, there's a picture of me sitting on the toilet. Look at the dookie I just made. Bob's away!
Chicken aw, splish. Okay, just saying, he has a tendency to draw himself naked in the bathroom.
Yeah.
And that's just what came back. Look at the dookie I made, Laura. Okay. I drew another picture. Here's a picture of another dog. George, for the love of God, get a job. Not running anything, just something to get you out of the house. I made this picture, and there's macaroni and sparkles on it.
I'm going to ride my bicycle.
On Barney's head, look.
I put baseball cards in spokes. Rat-a-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat. Shock it all.
She looks heavily medicated in that picture on the cover of Parade. She's just
poor
like,
thing.
Okay.
Bless her heart.
At least, like, at the White House, she could chain smoke and curse her life in the Rose Garden. You know, and get, like, the help to listen to
George,
her.
George, could you just go out and wash your truck or something?
Consuela. Bring some ciggies and come to the Rose Garden.
Bring me some ciggies and Xanax.
Okay.
Yeah, Laura Bush needed more than a hug and
a Xanax. Dave in Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Steph. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I think we've had two incidents this past week. One in Boston that I don't know could have been prevented by government, at least not the kind of government we want to have. And this event in Texas probably should have been
Yeah.
Prevented by
no, good points.
Exactly. Yeah.
Good
and,
points. And
I
David, I don't know if you heard, we had a right-wing caller earlier. Like, here we go again. Oh, if it was Republican president, you'd be, it's like, really? Are you really going to compare 9/11 to what happened in Boston? I mean, it's just.
No, you can't.
Yeah.
And if they're going to drown the government in the bathtub, we're going to have more, more
exactly.
industrial accidents or disasters or just things getting ready to happen
well,
and go bad.
And somebody was talking about how the Republicans seem to root every time public employees get laid off, like, cops.
Yeah.
That would have been good in Boston last week, wouldn't it? To have, I mean, what a, we have to say, you cannot say enough what a spectacular job law enforcement did. They deserved all the rock star cheers they got.
Or as you say in Boston, law enforcement.
All right. Meanwhile, we got to say we had a situation with Reese Witherspoon, everybody.
Oh, my God.
She said the thing.
She said the thing that celebrities aren't supposed to say.
Just don't say it.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Police in Georgia say actress Reese Witherspoon has been arrested on a disorderly conduct charge after a traffic stop involving her husband
don't
in Atlanta.
Do you know who I am?
No. I was getting to that. Yeah. The report says, I think that just pisses the cops off more.
Yeah.
Yes. It's like when Larry Craig handed his card to the cop in the bathroom.
What do you think of that?
What do you think of that? Well, I think there's going to be a great deal of unfortunate publicity. That's what I think of that. The report says a state trooper observed a car driven by Witherspoon's husband was failing to stay in its lane. The officer writes Witherspoon disobeyed multiple orders to stay in the car while he performed sobriety tests on her husband. After she refused to return to the car, she was handcuffed and arrested. And then she said, do you know who I am?
Uh-huh.
I don't know. You are somebody in handcuffs. That's who you are. Get in the car. Shush. Shut your pie hole.
And she also said to the cop, you are going to be on the news after this. Oh, no. The cop isn't on the news.
No, but you are.
You are.
But Reese Witherspoon is.
Now we know who you are even more. You're that actress that got arrested.
boy.
James in Nashville. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, James.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hey.
I've been watching this.
You know what? Turn your radio or TV off, and then we'll come back to you. Okay. Dan in Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Dan.
Hi. I just wanted to say, one, I'm a older white veteran male, and my opinion is that what we should be doing is that next time there's one of these horrific incidents where the perpetrators can be tied back to the NRA, that the president should declare the NRA a terrorist organization and confiscate their assets.
There you go.
Now you can go and lobby.
T and then a he. Yeah, exactly. All right. Let's go to Renee in Nashville. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Renee.
Good morning, Stephanie. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. Go ahead.
I absolutely love Lily Tomlin. I'm so sorry I missed her on air a while ago, but I wanted to make sure that she is aware if she's listening. Here in Hole-in-Wall, Tennessee, there is an elephant sanctuary with hundreds of acres for free-roaming rescued elephants.
There's no roaming charges? That's fabulous. That's great.
Wow.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And if you talk to Lily again, tell her I love her.
I will. I will. Well, get in line for loving Lily Tomlin.
Yeah, we all love her.
All right. Wayne in Spokane, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Wayne.
Hey, everybody. Love y'all.
Thank you.
White male, disabled veteran, shotgun owner, not scared of my government, not a big feared failure thinking we're going to be taking all our guns away and stuff. I mean, everything is based on paranoid fear and ridiculousness as far as an argument why I need an AR-15 or an AK-47. I used to own them. They're fun to shoot, target stuff, but I'm not going to go out with my AK to, you know, stop a criminal or something. My shotgun works just as well. The rounds don't go flying. It's
through
just
walls.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
So,
right.
You know, shotguns are perfectly fine.
Yeah, and all I need is my box. I don't even need a shotgun.
Exactly.
All you need is the sound effect. There you go.
I stopped a woman from being assaulted like 3 weeks ago, 3 a.m., screaming outside my house. I went out there with my shotgun. This guy's got his hand on the girl. All I did was yell, hey, he sees my shotgun. Whoop. She's able to walk home unharmed, you know. That was more than enough, and I didn't have to, you know, play Rambo and all this crap. It's just you show up. But,
my box is not as useful to me. Well, it's not useful for anything, really, but.
I have one question, though. Who told you I was paranoid? Who told you?
Anyway, no, I'm saying it because I would hit the wrong button on my box. Look out, I've got a
slide whistle. Not afraid to use it.
Oh, not that. Oh, I have lots of, yes, lots of dogs on chains. James in Nashville. There you are. Hello, James.
Hi, Stephanie.
I've got a studio audience. Get... Okay.
What I was calling about is with this Boston City Bombers, why doesn't nobody mention where did they get the gunpowder for those pressure cookers? Where did they get that?
Yeah,
well,
we can't trace the gunpowder. Guess
why?
Because of the NRA. So that's why that took so long.
I know that, but if they had background checks, they would have been able to identify them. It's like Lindsey Graham and John McCain are saying these guys were international terrorists. To me, they're domestic terrorists.
Yeah, that's, again, as legal experts have said, James, that's a non-starter. Mm-hmm. Zokar, the guy that's in the hospital, is an American citizen and was committed on American soil. You can't try them as enemy combatants. You just can't.
Zokar Noir.
Pardon me?
Zokar Noir.
Right.
And his brother Aramis.
Another 70s perfumes for men?
Yes. Actually, Zokar Noir was 80s.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's it for us and all the 70s perfumes. Yes.
Okay.
I'd like to thank executive producer, engineer, boy toy, Crystal Boy, voice deity, Jim Ward, T-Bone on phones and drums, Jackie Courtney, the whole game over. Gang over at Current. Zokar. Beldar. Hophar. Okay.
Trakar. We come from France.
See you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.